Our next presentation will be by Amy Leader, presenting some work she did at George Washington University at the School of Public Health. And the presentation is entitled Role of Social Capital in Cancer Screening Adherence.
Which one are we? How do we move forward? Just click it?
Yep.
No? Click it? Click it? No? There we go. Left click it. Good morning, everyone. I'm Amy Leader. I did this work as part of my dissertation at George Washington, and I'm now in Philadelphia at the University of Pennsylvania. I work on a cancer communication research project there at Penn. I don't have anything to disclose this morning, and I'll just briefly go through this very quickly. This is very common knowledge, but we, in the world of cancer screening, we do know that certain populations are vulnerable to not being screened for cancer, and that's across a variety of cancers. We do also know that interventions to increase cancer screening among these populations have been somewhat successful. Rates of cancer screening have gone up, but they're clearly not entirely successful. And frameworks that address social determinants of health are becoming more relevant and more popular for promoting cancer screening. So looking beyond health status and some of these general predictors of cancer screening and moving more into a social area of health. And one framework that I looked at here was the use of social capital in explaining some variance among the screened and the not screened. I had a couple research objectives and hypotheses here. One of them, because social capital is still being investigated as a construct, was to use psychometric work to validate a social capital scale among females. And I'll get to that in a second. I used the female population because I looked at breast and cervical cancer screening here. And then the second research objective was using that scale that I developed first was to predict adherence to breast and cervical cancer screening among age-appropriate women. I also looked at social support, which has also been used in the past more frequently than social capital. So I had some hypotheses, one being that women with high levels of social capital would more likely be adherent to screening. And I hypothesized that social capital might be a stronger predictor of screening than social support. I'll quickly go through some cancer disparities related to breast and cervical cancer. We know that this year, an estimated close to 185,000 cases of breast cancer will be diagnosed in a little over 11,000 women will be diagnosed with cervical cancer this year. We know that about 40,000 women will die of breast cancer, and a little under 4,000 women will die from cervical cancer this year as well. African-American women remain at higher risk of dying from breast cancer than any other woman of racial and ethnic group, and Hispanic women are much more likely to be diagnosed with cervical cancer this year than any other ethnic group in the States. So the current cancer screening guidelines are a little important here because I restricted my sample based on these screening guidelines. Current guidelines in this country are screening mammography for women every 1 to 2 years starting at age 40, and cervical cancer every 1 to 3 years starting at age 18 or within 3 years of sexual intercourse. I used the sample at 40 for breast cancer and 18 for cervical cancer. So my sample populations. Current screening rates, they go back to 05, but about 2/3 of women report having a mammogram in this country in the past 2 years, although you can see here we still have a lot of racial and ethnic disparities. And close to 80% of women have reported a pap smear within the previous 3 years, so they would be considered adherent to cervical cancer screening. And again, there's some noted disparities below us in terms of ethnicity, insurance status, education level, and things like that. So why social capital and cancer screening? Why did I put those together? Well, we do know that there have been some studies looking at neighborhood effects in cancer screening. There's an association between community-level factors and stage of diagnosis. We know that women who live in certain neighborhoods and certain counties and even certain states have better outcomes when it comes to cancer, five-year survival rates, treatment, diagnosis, things like that. There's another study showing that women who live in communities with a high percentage of females in their workforce and a higher physician supply are more likely to be diagnosed with an earlier stage cancer. So there's something about where they're living and what they have access to that's having an impact on their cancer survival. And a recent analysis, this was an NCI study, predictors of cervical cancer, individual and neighborhood characteristics had both an effect on being screened for cancer. So very briefly, I'll get everyone up to speed. Social capital has become more and more popular in the public health arena, and it stems from the economic literature as an outpost of social support. A very common definition is an aggregate of the actual potential resources linked to possessions in a network. And you can see that I have words here highlighted that are most important. These are definitely the resources that you pull from being connected to other people like you. Being around people that are like you gives you access to information. It gives you access to other people and credibility in social organizations. So social capital has a core network of members, and that can be just simply people in your neighborhood, that could be people in your church, that could be people in your PTA organization, that could be people in your union, all sorts of levels here. There's usually a cluster of norms or expectancies among them. Either they're all there for the same reason, the same purpose, they either all live in the same neighborhood, share similar values, work in the same place, that kind of thing. And typically there's punishments or rewards for actions. I'm going to go quickly through this because I want to make sure we have a lot of time here. So how do I think social capital might work in this situation? It could facilitate the flow of information. So within a network, you might be likely to more talk about cancer screening among other women in your neighborhood or that you work with, your coworkers, at your church, things like that. It might exert influence among you to actually be screened if everyone around you is being screened. If that's sort of the social norm is that you are screened annually, you might be more likely to be screened as well. Social credentials that come out of that might be something as simple as having health insurance because you're a member of a workforce, which then we all know gives you access to all sorts of levels of healthcare. And it can reinforce your identity by affirming your association with a group so that everyone does this together, and so therefore you would do it as well. There are really no measures of social capital that are sort of seen as the gold standard, so that's why there's a psychometric work involved here. A lot of times, it's the second bullet, few people will use a single measure on the extent to which people trust each other. There's newer, more elaborate measures where people have been measuring levels of home entertainment, socializing with your friends, group membership, civic participation, even things like voting. People who are in a community where the voter registration is high, then therefore they're more likely cohesive and they're doing things together. Social trust is another way people have measured social capital. I'm going to keep going here because I did talk about exerting influence and flow of information. So I do think that this could have an effect on cancer screening through the flow of information. We do know that women who report high levels of exposure to screening messages are more likely to be screened. Women who report seeing advertisements on television about screening, women who report seeing flyers about mammography or things like that, we do know that they're more likely to be screened. We also know in the level of exerting influence, women who report high levels of subjective norms are more likely to be screened. If your friends are screened, there's a higher chance that you're going to be screened as well. And social credentials, people who have access to a regular healthcare provider are more likely to be screened. We know that insurance status is a strong predictor of medical care in this country. So this data comes out of the California Health Interview Survey. Anyone here in California possibly knows about it. It's the state version of the National Health Interview Survey. California's is the largest in the country. It's very much operates like the National Health Interview Survey, population-based, random digit dialing survey. In 2003, the California Health Interview Survey had an extended module on some social capital variables that I was able to analyze, in addition to all the regular things that they collect on health status, behaviors, things like that. And so there was a little over 40,000 adult interviews in their sample, and if you break it down to where I was looking at females age 18 to 69, I had a population sample of a little over 20,000 women. About two-thirds of them were Caucasian, about 7% were African American. It was a decently diverse sample, more diverse than the National Health Interview Survey, so that was good. About almost a quarter, because it is California, reported that they were Hispanic. Mean age of the sample was about a little over 40 years old. Half were married. About 20% had a college degree, and three-quarters reported insurance in the last 12 months, and about three-quarters were born in the U.S. So the psychometric work that I talked about had factor analysis, reliability, and validity testing involved. These are the variables that I had, and they were the six at the bottom is which I constructed social capital with. People in my neighborhood are willing to help each other, do not get along with each other, can be trusted, do not share values, are afraid to go at night, and people in the neighborhood know each other. So this is a much more elaborate measure of social capital because it has six variables in it, whereas a lot of other places are using one or two variables along the way. And I also used the top four, which are pretty well-known social support measures as well. So I looked at social support as well. If you do this in a factor analysis, you can see that the top four hang together very nicely for social support, and the bottom six hang together very nicely for social capital. So I was looking that I had a scale here for social support and social capital separately. The social support items had a Cronbach's alpha of 0.75, which is decent enough to keep going. And the social capital items also had a Cronbach's alpha as a scale for the six items, 0.75. So it looked well enough that I could use these as two separate scales. This is really hard to see on here. I might skip through it. But the convergent and discriminant validity backed up the results that there were two separate scales there. So I did have enough to work with a social capital scale, six items, and now I use the scale to predict breast and cervical cancer screening. Each woman got a score based on those responses to those six items, and I essentially totaled them up and gave every woman a score. So women who had a higher score reported higher levels of social capital, women who had a lower score reported lower levels. So this is just their distribution of social support and social capital, and I'll go to the bottom grid, which is the social capital one here. And you can see on the strongly agree side, some of these were reverse scored because they were negatively worded, but about 75% of the women in each of these items reported pretty high levels, either agree or strongly agree, with having these levels of social capital on these items. So the amount of social capital reported by the women in the sample was relatively high, and this is not a group who seemed to be low in social capital, but it was pretty high. These are chi-square analyses of social support and social capital, and I'll just, that should be social capital at the top, go across here and summarize this briefly. As women got older, they reported slightly higher levels of social capital. As women, ethnic minorities had lower levels of social capital. Higher educated women had higher levels of social capital, as you might think. Women who were married reported higher levels of social capital, possibly just deriving that from their spouse or other activities that they were involved in with their spouse. And insurance status as well. Women who are insured also reported higher levels of social capital. And if you look at cancer screening adherence, women who reported high levels of, as the level of social capital increased, the adherence to breast and cervical cancer screening increased as well. If you look at the social capital, 70% of women who reported low levels of social capital were screened for breast cancer, as opposed to close to 80% of women who reported very high levels of social capital. Same thing for cervical cancer screening, lower levels of social capital equated to lower levels of cancer screening as well. I did put this into a logistic regression model as a final measure here, and this is a little tricky to see, but you can see that this is, if you look at the final column, is where I put social support and social capital together, and if you look all the way down at the bottom two right boxes down there are social support and social capital together in the model. For cervical cancer screening, you can see that social capital was a significant predictor of cervical cancer screening, but that social support was not in this model. And if you look at breast cancer screening, the very two final boxes in the right-hand corner, social support, neither of them here were, social capital was a slight predictor and social support was not. There might be something to be said here for social capital in its ability to predict in some level adherence to breast and cervical cancer screening. It's a weak predictor. It's not nearly as strong as the typical predictors we look at in terms of like health status, insurance status, education level, but it's a new area to explore, and there might be something there to look at. I think that's the end of me. I have a couple study limitations I'll mention if I have a minute or two. Clearly, this is a secondary data analysis based off of a data set that was pre-existing, so I wasn't able to modify any of the items. I think there's some deficiencies in some of the items that they had, but I clearly wasn't able to modify them. It is self-reported data, although there is some literature to say that women are relatively accurate in their ability to report breast and cervical cancer screening. This is completely self-reported data, which did not have any backup in terms of medical records checking or anything like that. And the data is analyzed as the sampling were random. It was a large enough sample to do that, which didn't throw off the p-values very much, but I didn't get into any complex survey sampling on this one too much. And this goes to the state of California. May not be generalizable to women outside of California. I know I'm speaking in California, but you're all a little different than the rest of us. And it's cross-sectional data, so I really am not able to determine any level of causality. So I don't know which comes first. You know, higher levels of social support lead to cancer screening, whether cancer screening leads to higher levels of social support. I can't determine that here. And this was my co-investigators on our group. And that's it, I think. Ta-da.